Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!
Is your data center ready for scale, speed, and savings? Dawn combines flexible scaling with faster deployment to deliver higher returns. See how these data center solutions powered by Intel technology transform with your business.
One of these days, I'm going to find the person who thought that auto run audio ads on websites are a good idea, and I'm going to violate all of my principles of nonviolence. Yeah. Oh, now. Which one of it? Okay, which one of you dadgum things are running the... Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. And I really didn't mean for you to have that audio in the intro, but I guess sometimes that kind of thing happens, doesn't it? This is The Horn. This is the Head On Radio Network. The HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. Yeah, a throat punch. There we go. A throat punch for the auto-run audio-video guy. I mean, what about people who are running on metered bandwidth, cell phones, and that kind of thing? Yeah, uh-huh. Right. But anyway, we'll get through this. It is, of course, the 17th day of August, 2015. Yes, this program's live. Day after day after day, Monday through Tuesday through Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, this program is live. The caveat being that if it's between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at present moment. God, when do we go back to standard time? What, October? Right. But anyway, it's time to begin a new broadcast week. Yes, indeed it is. And, well, why don't we start it with a whole big bucket full of... no, not a barrel of monkeys or bucket of frogs. How about a croaker sack of morans? Yeah. I don't know where the 60-cycle hum is coming from. Just more stuff to sort out. My apologies. Let's see. Probably a bum wire somewhere along the way. We'll have to deal with that. Anyway, just okay. The usual housekeeping. Pop on over to the website to jump into the chat room. There's a good little gang of folks in there already gathered up this evening. Good evening to Anatole and to Jug of Punch and to Labor Man and Paul, all capably moderated by longtime and veteran indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Yes, and the cowbell for effect. Right. Hey, good evening. Texas T and Dwayne just popping into the room as well. You too can be there. All you've got to do is pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and wow, you'll be part of the real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Mm-hmm. Also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, you know this, the Contribute tab. Yeah, that's where the PayPal interface is. That's how we keep all of this going. And I am proud to say that, thanks to our good friend Gary, labor man, out New Mexico way, we had two challenges on the table. Call it a, well, I don't know, a twofer or a double. It's Moran Monday, and, well, I may be one of the Morans. But, no, there's two challenges on the table. One, $100, $100 offer to match the next $100 that come in the equipment fund. That, yay. Or, and, not or, but and, $100 challenge to meet the first $100 to come in for the evening's fundraising. Gary said, think of it as have a half a show on me, and let's take the equipment fund down even further. And I'm telling you what, we're getting very close to being very nearly done with the equipment fund. If Gary's challenge is met, we will be down to $700 to go in the equipment fund. And that's pretty exciting. Yeah. So hopefully that will happen in both instances. Before, not just before the program's out, but hey, it'd be nice to have that out of the way in the first hour, wouldn't it? So thank you very much, labor man, Gary, for putting that challenge on the table this evening. Thank you very kindly indeed. It is, as noted, a Moran Monday. And I'm going to take a moment here just to try to sort out this tech issue. Stand by, please. Okay, so my apologies for the silence and the delay, but I had to take a moment to try to find out what this humming was. Carol describing it as a 60, kind of 60 hertz hum, and I think that's probably pretty close. Isaac informing me of it via Twitter as well. And I'm kind of danged if I can figure out what in the world it is. That's causing it. We got a bum wire somewhere, and well, damned if there aren't just a whole bunch of wires involved with all of this. Oh well. My life of indolent boredom. We'll find out which wire it is. My luck, it'll probably be a $15,000 wire. No, don't even say that. No, we just don't know the answer, and we'll have to sort it out. Oh, Isaac says it's gone now. Wonder where it went. I didn't touch anything. I didn't do anything. Oh, well. What a lovely start to Morian Monday. Yes, indeed. Oh, mercy sakes. So, let's see. Let's see if we can get this thing. Okay, so it's not gone. It's not gone at all. It's just not as noticeable when I'm talking. Okay. Oh, Lord only knows. I bet there's, you know, the cables back there are as old as the network is. I'll unplug and replug everything. Sometimes there's a dry joint or something like this. So, shall we get started? Shall we at least try? Is it worth it? Yes, I think it is. It takes a little more than a 60 kilohertz hum to run me off the air. All right. Now, hold on. There it is. Yeah, just because the day is what the day is.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Yes, indeed. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Come right on over to the Moran Monday 10th here at the Horn, just off the midway, inside, behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas. You'll hear Morans the likes of which you never knew you wanted to hear, probably didn't want to hear. Your consciences will be so shocked, so amazed, that you will find yourself being pulled, almost as it were, by some sort of invisible ray that makes about a 60 kilohertz hum right in to the Moran Monday tent. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this here is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. We've got them all right here, folks. Friends and neighbors, kiddies and cousins, aunts and uncles. We've got them all. Every kind of Moran. Right-wing Morans, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenther Morans, deather Morans, booger-eating Morans, bircher Morans, libertarian Morans, Republican Morans, one and all. Head for the hills. Oh, you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, dear God. And I do mean Morans. We're going to have to backtrack a little bit because this was in the stack for a while. And we never got around to it. But it deserves it. Because this is a degree of Moranity. Well, if you... You don't pass up opportunities like this. No.
And by that, I mean an alleged, you know, when there's a crime committed, you have to put in alleged until there's been a conviction. And, well, I think maybe that could come in handy with some other areas as well, as in alleged psychotherapist Tom Kersting. He's some sort of reality television show star over there on what used to be the All Hitler Channel, A&E. Who had 616? Who had 616? Gerald, really? No, way, way, way back in the day, the A&E network was known to many of us as the All Hitler Channel, because all they did was run World War II black and white documentary footage. And you could just sit there and watch it for hours on end. But much as somewhere along the way, MTV decided to stop running music videos, well, the Arts and Entertainment Network decided to stop running World War II videos. That's when they created biography channel, a history channel, whatever. And consequently, went into the reality television business. So I guess they've got some program over there called Surviving Marriage. In a country with a domestic violence problem as bad as ours is that in good taste? I know. So, here's the backgrounder. This alleged psychotherapist, Tom Kersting, went on some program on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. Well, you know which program. It went on the Moran Central program. Anyway. And it has to do with the fact that Target, you know, the other big box store, the one that's red and not blue, Target made a recent announcement saying that they would end the practice of gender labeling in the toy department of their stores and possibly some other areas. For instance, and this makes no sense to me, does it you? There were building sets and girls' building sets. Okay? I don't know. Do the little girls' building blocks have little vaginas or something? There's gender, and then there's unnecessary attempts to genderize things. So that very thing, the building set versus girls' building sets, started a stink in social media, and Target announced that as a result of the suggestions, the kindly suggestions by many Target customers, that they would stop gender labeling the toy section. Jim Silver, who is the editor-in-chief of TTPM.com, and they review toys, says, we've seen girls that love Nerf and girls that love Hot Wheels, and there are boys who like to play with Easy Bake Ovens. In other words, children don't necessarily conform to the gender norms imposed upon them by the grown-ups. They're changing the color scheme. They're changing how they present the toys. And for members of the Horn Family Commune congregation, I think we're probably all of us sitting there saying, "Well, what a giant nothing burger this is." And it is. It is. It's a nothing burger. It means absolutely nothing. But it's something out there in the Moranosphere. Oh, it's definitely something. First, we have to check in with those geniuses of morning broadcasting. I mean, if Morning Joe is just too intellectually stimulating for you, then you can dial it down to negative 11. This one goes to minus 11. You can dial it back to minus 11 and check in with Fox and Friends, who were definitely, without a doubt, moronically troubled, I tell you, troubled. Most troubled by the idea of gender-neutral toys.
Plus, one of America's favorite stores, Target, removing boys and girls labels. They're going gender neutral.
By the way, the font on this says gender bender. Excuse me, I don't think that's what that phrase means. Yeah, oh well, never mind. They're going gender neutral. Just to be clear, I want to check something.
His favorite stores, Target, removing boys and girls labels. They're going gender neutral. Whatever that is. Have the PC police gone too far? Live report straight ahead.
Well, Target is removing gender labels from its toy and bedding departments after complaints about the products. I know. You know when you walk in, you look up and you head to girls' toys or
that always helped me.
Right. So they've been specifically labeled prior to this point, boys or girls, but no more.
Nope. Elcita Segui from Fox 13 in Tampa is live outside a Target store where they're going to take down some of those signs. Right, Elcita?
Yeah, right. No, I'm not kidding. In America, in 2015, they sent a reporter to stand outside a Target store to watch the de-freedomization or I don't know, the abomination-nationization of a Target store. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Brian. That's it. We're right here at the Target. Definitely here at the Target. Is this Target? Yeah, it's Target.
Is this going to confuse you? I know it's going to confuse me.
What? Mother. Really? Suddenly Barbie's confusing. Suddenly G.I. Joe is confusing. Suddenly Transformers are confusing. Well, Transformers are confusing. Who am I kidding? I mean, 1 minute it's a damn yellow Camaro, and the next thing you know, it blow away the entire planet. Oh, my. I mean, children can go, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered parents can send their precious little pumpkins into Target, and their good Christ-centered little God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian children, and they come out who knows what. I mean, little Johnny goes in, he's looking for a Tonka truck, and because they haven't labeled the toys there in the Target, he picks up Mystery Date. Do they still make that game? I don't know. And the next thing you know, it's all Barbies. And, well, I mean, there's your gateway toys out there. I mean, what if some precious little Christian girl gets a view of a G.I. Joe and decides she likes other girls? Well, Alcedo Segui is certainly confused. He just cackled about it, didn't he?
And they're doing it not only at this store here in Tampa, but all Target stores across the country. And they're making these changes because Target received thousands of emails through social media as well, Twitter and Facebook, and it's from folks asking this retail store to remove the gender-based signage within the store itself. So Target says it's addressing the issue, and now they're making some changes, but it's not going to happen in the entire store. It's just going to happen in certain departments. For example, in the kids' bedding area, signs will no longer state for boys or for girls. Instead, it'll say kids' bedding.
And why not? Does something happen on the subcellular genetic level to a little girl who sleeps under a Buzz Lightyear blankie? Well, we all know something happens to little boys who sleep under Cinderella blankies now, don't we? Uh-huh. Taffeta, darling. Taffeta. Now, you see what's going on here, don't you? I know you do. This is that creeping genderism. Yeah. Yeah, sure, they say they're taking four girls and four boys out of the bedding department. And maybe they're taking it out of the toy department. But the next thing you know, they'll be selling little girls' Barbie panties to boys. And then, you know what'll happen? Then Target'll take the men's and the women's off of the restrooms. Yes, this is how the big gay works. This is how your homosexual agenda works. They start in the toy department, and the next thing you know, they're in the bathroom. And after Target, what next? They'll come after our beloved Wally World. Mm-hmm. And Christians won't have nowhere safe to shop except Hobby Lobby. And I don't think they sell blankies there. And they don't sell Barbies. And Lincoln Logs. And Legos. And erector sets. Do we really want little girls playing with erector sets?
In the toy aisle, they're removing references to gender as well, including the use of pink, blue, yellow, and green paper. You'll likely see changes in the toy aisle, the home department, entertainment department as well. Now, in some cases like apparel, signage will likely stay the same. These changes come in response to customers' feedback. Again, Target says over the past year, guests have raised important questions about a handful of signs that offer product suggestions based on gender. And about a couple of months ago, someone tweeted a picture of a sign that said building set, and below that it said girls building set. Well, that tweet received thousands of retweets. It got national attention, and now again, Target is making some changes. They made a statement. It says, "We heard you, and we agree. Right now, our store is working to identify areas where we can phase out gender-based signage to help strike a better balance." Again, expect some of these changes in the next couple of months. Back to you guys.
Well, now this was a week ago. This was the beginning of a broadcast week. After, and we remember last weekend, there was lots of news made over the weekend. And this, the great gender toy crisis of 2015, gets 4 minutes of airtime, you know, next to the Iran nuclear agreement? Really? Oh, dear. Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least we know who to blame the next time a four or five Category 12 tornadoes touch down in Oklahoma or a trailer park in Missouri or somewhere. Yeah. Target. Because Target has been abominating all over the Lord. I mean, now see, we raised some youngins, and I remember when there was a big foo-frog. What was it, the 90s? The last one of these was a great big kerfuffle over naked Barbies. Yeah, and so Mattel, isn't Mattel who manufactures Barbie? Yeah. So Mattel put a little plastic imprint on the little plastic crotch of Barbie so as to say that she had her underwear molded right in. Now, we weren't so much worried about G.I. Joe because he's never had, you know, anything. So they didn't imprint little boxer shorts on G.I. Joe, but they made sure that the heathen demon temptation source of all sin in the world was, you know, covered up. Yeah. Well, so that's the report from Alcides Segui in Tampa, live on the scene, your eyewitness team news coverage of the... But the fun part's about to start because he's thrown it back to the team there on the couch in New York.
Wow. Elcida Segui down in the Tampa area. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So to recap, it will be the toys and the bedding.
Toys and bedding for now.
It will not be the clothing, which is good because you need to know which is which.
I would assume.
How many times have you gone into a store? When I go to buy glasses.
Sure.
And there are all of them up on the wall, I will ask the person, are these men's or women's? And
exactly.
Either one.
Well, I can tell you this. Either it's probably going to end up self-sorting because when I take my little kids in who weren't able to read at the time, they could find the toys that they wanted without being able to read the labels up there.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that most kids will be able to self-sort and figure out what toys they want anyway. But should a letter come in about the clothing, I have a feeling Target would make moves on that.
Uh-huh. See? Yeah, you think that she's just there to be pretty, that Elizabeth Hasselbeck. No, that was some pretty serious thinking she was doing right there. It'll be self-sorting. In other words, what's the big deal? Children are going to play with what children want to play with. Huh? That almost makes sense. But then, oh, that's because she's smarter than she lets on. She's figured it out. You heard that. What if there's a complaint about the clothing?
Read the labels up there.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that most kids will be able to self-sort and figure out what toys they want anyway. But should a letter come in about the clothing, I have a feeling Target would make moves on that. No?
But who are they helping? The 9 people that are upset by this? If you're going to buy a gift for a boy who's 9 or 6 or a girl who's 9 or 6, you want to be able to go to that section and pick out a toy they might want. Now you have to sit there and look at a blended area and wonder, is this for a boy or is this for a girl?
I think what they're saying is the boundaries are down. Boys and girls can play with the same toys now.
Fantastic. There's going to be some unhappy girls and unhappy boys now.
The critics are saying that it's harmful and...
What, Edith, huh? The boundaries are down. The flag has fallen. Morans. This is why we have Moran Monday. Yeah, somebody complained. Oh, by the way, it was more than 9 people that complained about the building sets and girls' building sets. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions maybe? I don't... Because that's just stupid. Building sets. Girls building sets. Oh, my aching back. Yep. Next thing you know, little Arlie Jean Bubba Joe gonna be heading off to that first day of second grade in a frock. You realize this is all about male privilege, right? Because nobody's complaining about sending little Carly Sue to second grade in a pair of pants. Yeah. Togas. There's your answer. Freaking togas.
Aggressive to have the labels on those departments. Let us know what you think about that. We'll stand by.
Yeah, you stand by, Elizabeth. Well, they weren't done with it. And that's how we got to this point. Me mentioning alleged psychotherapist Tom Kersting. Well, they somehow managed to get him on the morning program for Fox in... New York. I was confused because Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade weren't there. But let's hear from Dr. Kersting. Because he's sure. He knows. He's a psychotherapist. He knows that Target is out there warping the little tender minds of our precious children. Yeah.
We're going to ask our parenting panel that question. Joining us now is psychotherapist Tom Kersting, parenting expert Darby Fox, and psychotherapist Nell Gibson Daly. Thank you for joining us here today. Now let me ask you about Target, because this is something interesting going around. The retailer has just announced that Friday it will phase out gender-based signage in some departments, toys and bedding. What do you think, Tom?
I think we're going a little overboard with that. I understand there's this whole gender-neutral agenda going on, and I actually have clients of mine that are don't really know what gender they are. But what about people, you know, the question I have is, what about I don't want to confuse kids that are young when we take them to a toy store, with having them question what their gender is.
Because, you know, there's going to be an armed guard in front of the Target toy section. So, hey, kid, what's your gender? I think this is the exact opposite of that, isn't it? Why, yes. As a matter of fact, it is. Why can't the little kids just wander into the toy department and pick up toys and take them back to mommy and daddy and say, I want this, so mommy and daddy can say no? Right? Because we have to eat this week? Yeah, and then there's that. Marty pointing out, parenting expert? How does one become a parenting expert? Does the parenting expert actually have kids? Well, you know, for more than almost 2,000 years now, there have been a group of people who consider themselves parenting experts who are actually forbidden from even getting married or even having children. We call them priests. But never mind. Ron and Raleigh with an observation says, hey, Bob, last time I went into Costco, there was a huge display of princess dresses. I didn't see any gender labeling. Fancy that. Because generally the only people who want princess dresses are the people who, oddly enough, want princess dresses. And by the way, aren't we in, like, the capitalist wonderland? And don't these freaks worship the free market? Well, how free market is it to say that some children should buy some toys and other children should buy other toys? Why not let the free market sort it out, and that unseen hand that quavers and clutches and grasps its way through our polity? Gotta have a sign, right? Signs and wonders, tribulations. Let's go back.
I don't want to confuse kids that are young when we take them to a toy store with having them question what their gender is. That's the problem I have. I think Target, after reading the comments, a lot of people are not happy with it. And I saw people stating that they're not going to shop there anymore. So I think they might have stepped a little bit overboard.
Now I understand. You know, he said earlier he has clients. Yeah, he's a psychotherapist with clients. What, he's Atticus Finch now? He's got clients. He's a psychotherapist with clients who don't know what their gender is. And you know what? If he thinks children can be confused about their gender by a trip to the toy store, I just feel sorry for anybody that has him for a psychotherapist.
Test market for sure.
I respectfully disagree. I think it's not a big deal at all. Kids don't go in there, especially younger kids, aren't reading. So they aren't saying this is a boy or a girl toy. No. They're drawn to certain things. And there isn't gender confusion. The gender issue is more neurological and biological, and that comes differently than selecting a toy or sheets.
I think she just told the psychotherapist, the psychotherapist that he was to go Freud himself.
I actually think it's a great idea. I think the most important thing for children is that they explore across gender. Everything about that we've learned with research is that we need children to be curious in order to start the domino effect of learning. God knows which one of these children have the cure for cancer inside of them or are going to be the next president. The more they explore across neutral, gender-neutral aisles, the better we are off as a society.
Interesting. Let us know what you think. And should this all be taking place at Target? Anyway.
Yeah.
Good to have our parenting panel. We have our hot topics today. We want to thank Tom Kersting, Darby Fox, and Nell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, there's a reason for More in Monday, and there's a reason we've wasted 40 minutes on this. Yeah. Pity's sake. But there's lots of... You notice that the topic there was confusion. Because confusion abounds. I mean, for 7 years now, a significant plurality of the citizens of the United States have been confused over the fact that there's one of those in their White House. It's confusing. Tis a puzzlement. Yeah. I mean, they don't know what happened to their country.
The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever.
Yeah. They want to get their country back. And if they have to build if we build a big wall around America like Donald Trump wants to do, how are we going to get our country back in our country? And what's it doing south of the border or up in Canada? Who told it could leave? These are confusing times. And I guess... I guess we'll call her the Queen of Confusion, then. Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Mm-hmm. Because she's been... She's confused about gender all the way from conception to death. And here's where it comes from. So there's and this is one of those situations where science kind of confirms things that the ancients suspected. The word honeymoon, and I think we've talked about this in the past, the word honeymoon comes from the fact that in the Middle Ages, a well-to-do couple would be gifted at their wedding with enough mead, which is made of honey, to last a moon or a month. Honey, moon. The idea being that they were to take that honeymoon month and they were to drink their mead and revel a bit, and romp some, and hopefully by the end of the month, the new wife would be pregnant with the new son and heir to the duchy, the earldom, the what, barony, whatever. Freaking royal. And it happened from time to time. And I guess there was some work done years back that found out that mead, not beer, not wine, not liquor, mead, because honey is a miracle food, no matter whether it's honey or... You get the idea. Mead has a way of altering the pH level in the uterus. Subtly. So that the little... Y chromosome sperm have a more of a fighting chance than the X chromosome sperm. And in a world where the eldest son gets everything and everybody else is sort of left to fend for themselves, that's kind of important. Well, it turns out that some researchers in particular, a study, a dietary study, indicates higher caloric intake around the time of conception changes the odds of having a son from 10 to 11 boys in every 20 births. from 10 boys to 11 boys. The more women ate, the more likely they were to have a boy. Now, there's a whole philosophical debate to be had on whether or not that's a good idea and the gender biases that are inherent in that. What they're saying, in other words, women who want a son should eat a generous bowl of cereal for breakfast, munch bananas, use more salt, and boost their overall daily calories by 400 calories, the equivalent of a meal. Okay, so there's that. Well, Elizabeth Hasselbeck is confused. Now, we all understand, because we're liberals, progressives, you know, decent human beings with functioning brains, that we're talking about what happens prior to conception. That we're talking about, you know, altering the chemical balance, yada, 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 before the baby gets made. Okay? Not Elizabeth Hasselbeck. No. You might want the hockey puck for this, just for a little limited, because the stupidity is stunning. It truly is.
Well, pink or blue? That's the question for soon-to-be parents waiting to welcome their bundle of joy. But are there some ways to guarantee that you will have a girl or boy? Dr. Nancy Simpkins is an internist who specializes in women's health, and she joins us now to separate some baby-making fact or fiction. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. So let's get started. Fact or fiction, if you want a boy, eat breakfast.
That is fact.
Wow. Okay,
because
why?
Because the Y chromosome tends to like a higher glucose environment. So this was a study that was done at Northwestern University, has been replicated. So anybody out there who is trying to have a boy, make sure that you eat your breakfast every morning.
Sure.
The stable glucose levels tend to be more conducive to the Y chromosome.
Fascinating. Okay, next up, fact or fiction. Reach for the salt for a baby girl and eat an all-veggie diet for a boy.
This is not fact. This is fiction.
Okay.
A matter of fact, many of the studies have it in reverse. So what does it mean? It means that we were thinking the vegetables with the calcium and the magnesium and the salt with the potassium or the sodium makes for a different acidic versus alkaline environment. Maybe one is more conducive to having a girl and one for a boy. But actually, the studies keep flip-flopping. Mm-hmm. So what I say to patients, just eat a healthy diet.
Or what you...
Or maybe you say to patients, you want a kid? Take the kid. Love the kid you have. Love the child you have. Regardless of gender. I know. Shocking, isn't it? Isn't that just bizarre? Because we don't live in a culture where the firstborn male son gets everything and you have civil war if the lord of the manor house dieth, yea, verily, without issue of his body. That's the kind of legally medieval language. No issue of his body. Yeah. We don't live in that world. And if there's a second son, he winds up in the priesthood, and he's probably been a little bit rowdy, but that's okay. We'll get him a cardinal and job. Yeah. It may be shortstop for the Cardinals. Jesus. This professional broadcast. But we haven't gotten to the hockey puck part.
Your craving maybe indicates something.
That's right.
Okay, so fact or fiction, number three, for a boy, ditch the cardio.
Yes, well, this is true.
Okay.
Maybe if you're trying to have a boy, stick to weight training and less cardio, because your actual body weight, the set point of your body weight, can help to determine whether you have a girl or a boy. If you're doing a lot of cardio and you're dropping weight, might not be so conducive to having a boy.
To clarify, are you leading up to pregnancy?
Yes.
Are you talking about that?
Yeah, we're talking during the time that you're trying to conceive.
God.
Wait a minute. Yeah, so that was the hockey puck part, kind of. You're talking about leading up to pregnancy? So, I guess Elizabeth Hasselbeck thinks there's some sort of drag bar in the womb?
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. Wow. My head's a little bit hurting. It really is. You can understand how. Robert in Australia with a note. Subject line, concerned over nothing. Bob, I overslept and only now joined the show. God, talk about being obsessed over nothing. Gender-specific toys? Give me a break. Is this an American thing? No, Robert. Let's take it easy on the country. Let's say it's a right-wing thing. Because if you're a Republican, a teabagger, birth or death or ninth or tenth or bagger, booger eater, bircher, you spend an inordinate amount of time, especially if you're an evangelical Christianist fundamentalist, thinking about sex and gender and who goes potty where. I don't know if it's because all these right-wingers were potty trained at gunpoint or their amygdalas are too big. But you cannot be a conservative, right-wing, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian in this country without being obsessed with sex. Who's doing it, how they're doing it, which way they're doing it, whether or not there's a Bible verse that says they ought not, and what kind of raiment they are a-wearing. Your right-wingers, they understand that boys are better, and boys don't become whores and sluts, and they don't bear the sin of Eve that cast us out of the Garden of Eden and makes us all die instead of live forever. Who wants to live forever on a planet with Republicans? And all this... This is all just business that's, I don't know, it's Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Everything's a metaphor for something else. The right wing has a hissy about gender neutralizing the toy section, and somehow or another, like I said earlier, it's all about male privilege. There, because the right wing is in this country, the white wing, I do mean white, is obsessed with machismo, with they really want to be butch and let everybody know that they ain't afraid of nothing. Yeah, we'll bomb you, damn it. We're tough. Because you can't have American exceptionalism if you're not all butch and manly and stuff, right? I mean, I've seen articles about this. I saw one over at Salon or maybe Alternet or somewhere saying the right wing's toxic culture of hyperinflated masculinity is killing it, and it's killing a lot of people because. That's also tied in with why people want to shoot people in movie theaters and churches and stuff like that. You got to go out and be manly for Jeebus. So I thought that was a nice place to start. For some general morality. Oh, we got more. We got a trip to Kentucky coming this well. Yeah. And your calls, of course. The lines are open. You know the numbers, I trust. 304-574-8178. That's line one. Line two is the stress line. 304-663-4676. 304-663. Horn. Yeah, see how that works? And you can jump in on either one if you've got a more end you want to nominate. And I'm happy to announce that we are halfway to both of Labor Man's challenges this evening. Thank you to Keith and Carol. Thank you very kindly indeed. So $50 more on each account, and Labor Man's challenge will have been met. Good evening to Stockton Larry and Mighty Mouse and Mr. Gibson in the chat room. Thanks for popping by. Oh, by the way, if you want to get in touch with the program via Skype, Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn. It's easy as can be, and you are welcome to participate that way as well. Sorry about the hum. Maybe we'll get that sorted out, preferably sooner rather than later. So, yeah, a little bit of a break, and then we'll fire up hour number two. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Cowboy. I wanna be a cowboy.
probably dancing by now. I'm even chair dancing here. A minute past the hour on this, the 17th day of August, 2015. Thanks to Ron and Raleigh for what he referred to as a sideways bumper. That was I Want to Be a Cowboy by Boys Don't Cry. Yeah, see what he did there? Yeah, I see. Uh-huh. Oh, a program note for tomorrow evening. You know, we don't do a lot of guests on this program. We invite, the ordinary workaday experts are the real guests here. But every once in a while, I see a story that I think merits a little bit of expert testimony, if you will. And I try to get someone scheduled up for it. Well, I don't want to jinx myself or anything, but tomorrow evening at the beginning of the program, we're going to be having a conversation here with an actual, honest to goodness, no kidding, bona fide, you know it, nuclear physicist in regard to the multinational agreement regarding Iran and its nuclear program. So I think you might want to be making sure that you catch that conversation. It might be a dandy. It may be a dandy indeed. And we'll try to make that happen right at the beginning of the program. Let's check in and find out if he's still in Louisiana Stan or elsewhere. Hey, Jim. Oh, Jim. Oh, wrong button. There you are, Jim.
Hey, you know, I'm elsewhere. I'm in Nevada, Las Vegas.
Wow.
Got a little interesting story about it.
Yeah, a little less humid, I imagine.
A little travel story. I left Wednesday around 2:30, and, Central Time, and, let's see. Okay, so I had, one jack on the airplane. And it was then we landed in San Antonio. It was like a two and a half hour layover. I had a couple more, but then when I went to get back on the plane, they wouldn't let me get back on. I don't think I was outrageous, but so I had to catch another flight. So that was the exciting story.
But now you're there and what?
What's that?
I said, so now you're there and what? I mean, what's the plan now?
Get a job and get a family friend and get an apartment.
And does it, does this look a little more feasible than the Denver run did?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot. Place a lot reasonable than Denver. Denver just seemed off the pages. I guess the number of things. Somebody I was talking to when I was there, once they decriminalized the marijuana, our land value just shot up.
Yeah, it's not. And everybody and their cousin went out there. I want to smoke the dope legal like.
Yeah. Well, even then, from what I understand, a job still has the right to drug test you.
Sure.
So, in fact, I remember, I think it was the day after smoke a joint day. It was something, 420. The 420
right,
movement.
Right.
The day after that, I heard, I don't know how true it was, a lot of companies pulled, drug tests. I worked for the Venetian for 10 years. I had one drug test when they hired me, a hair test, and that was it. And usually with companies, that seems how it goes. I guess unless it's highly sensitive or whatever. They only give you one when they hire you. And if they suspect a problem, then they'll give you another one. But I don't know how true that was out in Colorado. but so far so good.
Well, keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, in fact, I've got some job leads, and except the thing is, since I'm on disability, I can only make so much. In fact, I double-checked how much I could make, and it's only a thousand a month of just to my disability. They don't let you live long with your disability.
No. No. Well, best of luck to you, Jim, and by all means, stay in touch.
Oh, I will.
And keep an ear and an eye out for the for a Bernie rally to come your way. You can be the correspondent on the ground.
Oh, that was the other thing. I think one of the contributing factors to me getting not put back on a plane. I had on a Bernie shirt, a Bernie hat, and a Bernie what we call button. And I don't think they like that in Texas, at least in San Antonio, maybe in Austin, San Antonio. I think subconscious, I think they did that because of that. But that's my conspiracy sausage for the day.
Cool. All right, man. Have a good one. We'll talk soon.
All right.
All right. Good luck, man. Our buddy Jim. Now from Vegas, Jim. It is, of course, Moran Monday on the horn, 8 minutes past the hour. And I got to... This has to be in the list. I said we were going to go to Kentucky, and we will go to Kentucky. But before we go to Kentucky, let's text Ann. She's just you don't get more in. This is restaurant quality. The Agriculture Commissioner of Texas is Sid Miller, and thanks to Beth for drawing my attention to this. Sid Miller. And Sid Miller is a God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian Texan agriculture commissioner. And Sid Miller, as agriculture commissioner of Texas, is presently on a trade mission to China. Never mind. There's about 100 different jokes writing themselves, even as we speak. We'll just leave it at that. But before he left, old Sid decided to share some of his thoughts on, and this is how it is with right-wingers, it's that we've noticed this before, they'll just say what's on their mind, no filters, I ain't gonna be politically correct. Well, he took to his Facebook page, and he posted a photo. He shared it from somewhere else. It's really disgusting. It is insensitive and quite possibly homicidal. Okay, so it's on his Facebook page. Somebody else put it on there, apparently. The Patriots IV drip tube. Japan has, it's a picture of a nuclear device going off. You know, the mushroom cloud, and it looks like the sun itself is being born inside the explosion. And it says, Japan has been at peace with us since August 9th, 1945. It's time we made peace with the Muslim world. And we talked at some length about the horrors of the American decision to become the only country ever to have deliberately used nuclear devices in warfare. I mean, if we start talking about the bomb tests and stuff, there's a lot of other people that have had nuclear devices used on it. But in a state of warfare, right? We deliberately bombed women, children, the aged, We nuked schools, hospitals. We erased Hiroshima and Nagasaki from the map. And we won't go through the reasons why it was unnecessary. But there are people in this country that think that was a great idea. And that's a historical debate to be had. And all the debate in the world is not going to change the fact that it did happen. All right. The only positive thing that can come from the debate is to hope that it never happens again. Unfortunately, there are people in this country who would like for it to happen again, and apparently one of them is Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller. Now, he let it stay up on his campaign Facebook page until someone mentioned it and they took it back down. And when this is where it gets interesting. When called upon to address the issue, his spokesman a person by the name of Todd Smith said, "We're not going to apologize for the posts that show up on our Facebook page. I don't know who put it there, but I'm not going to start a witch hunt to find out who did." So they suspect that someone in the campaign staff put up that graphic suggesting that the Muslim world be subjected to a nuclear holocaust. They ain't going to have a witch hunt over it. Oh, hell. Right? Because why would you even want to know? I mean, what does it matter? Probably in excess of a majority of Texans feel the same way. Texans, hell. You could probably get a majority of the American people.
The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever.
To agree that we ought to nuke the Muslim world. Apparently, there's a whole bunch of people in this country that think we should have a nuclear exchange with Iran. Remember when bomber John McCain said, "My friends, bomb, 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 bomb Iran." Yeah, that was a catchy song when I was young. Yeah. I hope you've been tuning into Dr. Bill lately. He's been examining James Madison's analysis of the toxicity of the, and the word Madison used was faction, in the life of a republic. And isn't this that? With bright, radioactive, glowing light. And by the way, there were other hashtags associated with this graphic. One was, No Islam, N-O Islam, no K-N-O-W, peace. No Islam, no peace. In other words, if there's no Islam, the world can have peace. Huh. Funny. I don't think Muslims started either of the two great wars of the 20th century. I don't recall Muslims starting the War of the Roses, or the Hundred Years' War, or the 300 years war, or the 600 years war. I don't think it was Muslims that conquest of Gaul. No, I don't
think Muslims were responsible for the genocide of the native peoples of this hemisphere. I don't think Muslims were on the in Australia hunting down Aboriginal peoples as though they were animals. I don't know. There are 18 people with access to the campaign Facebook account, and one of them thinks it would be a great idea and probably has agreement from the other 17 to nuke the so-called Muslim world. And understand, that's going to mean, and I realize, they're morons. That's why they're on Moran Monday. They're morons. But do they stop to think that this is going to mean nuking parts of China, Pakistan, India, Malaysia, Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Afghanistan? Well, hell, there's some real live, honest-to-goodness Muslims in the Israel. There's Muslims in Mexico. We're going to have to nuke ourselves. There's Muslims in the United States of America.
The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever.
Daggummit. They's done got everywheres.
We're not going to have us a witch hunt trying to find out who it is that wants to nuke Japan.
Democrats in Texas, both of them, that's a joke. No, the Democrats in Texas have criticized the posting as hateful, which it is. I mean, is there an argument to be had about that? It's hateful. Suggesting nuking anybody, I think, in civilized parlance, is hateful. Manny Garcia is deputy executive director of the State Democratic Party in Texas. He said, it is unacceptable for Republican Sid Miller to be promoting such disgusting rhetoric. Sadly, this kind of racist, xenophobic hate speech qualifies you for higher office with Republicans' Tea Party fringe base.
Nailed it!
Because that's who they are. That's who conservatives are. That's what conservatives believe. We got a problem? Let's nuke it. I imagine there's somebody somewhere right now in the right-wingosphere trying to figure out a way to nuke gay marriage. And Sid Miller, he's one of the 18 with access to the account, by the way. Sid Miller said at a Texas Public Policy Foundation forum, he said, Sid Miller, what is it that keeps you up at night? I don't know how they knew he was staying up nights. Maybe it was the barking or the howling. And he said, I do have some long-range concerns as I hold these two grandbabies on my lap, and I happen to wonder, when they have grandbabies to hold in their lap, will we be a socialist country? Will we be a Muslim country? Will those be Muslim grandchildren on their laps? Which, of course, begs the question, are Muslim grandchildren less lovable than good, white, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, evangelical, fundamentalist children? And I don't know. I always assumed that children were lovable regardless of what sort of religious ideologies one foisted upon them.
isn't that your understanding? Because, you know, there would be some children, Sid Miller, there would be some children in those nuclear blasts that one or more of the 18 people with access to your Facebook account think would be a great idea. But hell no, they don't apologize over the no. And of course, it's also worth noting that we had a big announcement over the weekend. Yes, indeed. Donald Trump announced his or published his or released his plan for so-called immigration reform. It is an absolute unquestionable requirement that one, when reading this immigration reform plan, do so with the hockey puck and the duct tape. Somebody Donald Trump paid wrote, "When politicians talk about immigration reform, they mean amnesty, cheap labor, and open borders. The Schumer-Rubio immigration bill was nothing more than a giveaway to the corporate patrons who run both bodies." Okay, that's the preamble. So here are the specific points. A nation without borders is not a nation. There must be a wall across the southern border. We'll call it the greatest wall. A nation without laws is not a nation. Laws passed in accordance with our constitutional system of government must be enforced. A nation that does not serve its own citizens is not a nation. Any immigration plan must improve jobs, wages, and security for all Americans. One, make Mexico pay for the wall. So naturally, because who is to say that Trump is not a real candidate? I still think this sucker could wind up being the Republican nominee. And bless her heart, pearl clutching old Babs Bush is probably sitting in Kennebunkport. She'd be sitting there just cackling like she's fit to lay an egg.
I told the world they didn't need another Bush presidency. But would the stupid one listen? Now you can't tell Jeb you nothing.
So they had to get somebody on the TV box over at Chicken Noodle News to talk about the Trump immigration plan. And that someone was a supporter of Donald Trump by the name of Terra, T-E-R-R-A, the Latin word for earth, Terra Compton Grant. Hockey puck.
Finally, Republican frontrunner Donald Trump reveals how he'd fight illegal immigration if he is elected president. One of his top priorities to end birthright citizenship, which allows children who are born in the United States to be granted citizenship, even if their parents came here illegally. To do so, however, would require a change in the U.S. Constitution. Here's how Trump responded when he was pressed on the issue by NBC's Chuck Todd.
We have to make a whole new set of standards. And when people come in, they have
so
to come in.
You're going to split up families.
Chuck,
you're going to deport children.
Chuck, no. We're going to keep the families together. We have to keep the families together.
But you're going to keep them together
out? But they have to go.
What if they have no place to go?
We will work with them. They have to go. Chuck, and we either have a country or we don't have a country.
Time out. haven't we heard that they have to go argument before somewhere in history? Haven't we heard that we just need more room for good people of this country argument? I think we have.
Among some of the other highlights of Trump's plan, make Mexico pay for that border wall, deport criminal aliens, suspend new green card issuances, and triple immigration agents along the border, although Mr. Trump did not say how he would exactly pay for that. Critics warn Trump's plan is dangerous and would result in a police state. So let's talk about that. Trump supporter Tara Grant is back with me. Welcome, Tara. And Republican strategist Rick Wilson. Good morning. Rick Wilson is with us, too. He's a Republican strategist.
No, really. I promise. You've got maybe... You may have a couple of minutes to get to the hockey puck, but believe me, you're going to want it.
So, Tara, I want to start with you. Trump's plan, is it music to your ears?
I definitely agree with the plan. Of course, I do. Of course, as an American citizen, I have some questions about how, of course, how we're going to fund it. But
how we're going to fund it. I love that tone. I love that tone of voice. I have some questions. Sure. Yeah, questions.
I also have faith that, you know, his policies, everyone said, well, he doesn't have any policies. We have no policies in place. So now he's rolling out his policies, and especially on immigration, I do believe we have a huge problem with the border. We've got to get a border up. We've got to get a wall. And
Especially with the border, we have a problem. We gotta have a border, because we don't have a border right now. Did you realize that, Tara? I didn't know it until Tara Compton Grant just now told me. We don't have a border. How did we forget that? And what are those things you go through at the border we don't have? What are the? Gotta have a wall. How high a wall? Into space, damn it! Them Mexican rapists with their calves as big as cantaloupes can pole vault! Yeah, nothing there on how he'd get any of this done. Just put a bunch of bizarre stuff out there. He went to the Iowa State Fair this weekend. Home of the last honest-to-God not prefabbed corn dog on Earth, apparently. I love those. And a lot there were freak shows and all kinds of win an iguana by throwing the hoop around throw the ping pong ball through the hoop that lands in the fish bowl, and it causes cranial injuries to the little goldfish from the shockwaves of the water with the ping pong ball hit it. All that. And he was there giving helicopter rides, T-Rump was. Oh, yeah. And so it's just another act on the Midway. But, of course, the for-profit media is there to act like it's real politics in America. And you know what? The for-profit media may be right. This may be politics in America now. For at least one noisy plurality herein, with perhaps enough chutzpah to get one of these fiends elected. But we gotta have a wall. We gotta have a border. I'm guessing she took the teabag hat off just for the interview, because anybody that says especially we have to have a border, she's been to some Tea Party meetings. You just know it, don't you? But that's not the good part.
His policies... Everyone said, well, he doesn't have any policies. We have no policies in place. So now he's rolling out his policies, and especially on immigration, I do believe we have a huge problem with the border. we've got to get a border up. We've got to get a wall. And if the Mexican government is pushed to make that happen, well, we have a lot of illegal immigrants who come into this country. They work illegally. They make American money, and then they send it back to Mexico to support their families. So that money...
And supporting families with the money you earn, that's un-American, unless you're an American. Okay.
Money is going back to Mexico, so the money is there to make that happen.
Tara, are you for changing the Constitution?
You know, I think we get into a slippery slope when we start changing the Constitution. I do. Birthright citizenship, I'm not, you know, I don't necessarily think that, I don't necessarily know that I agree wholeheartedly with changing the Constitution. I don't. I'm still up in the air, you know.
Yeah, up in the air. Way up in the air, where the oxygen's really thin. But she says she doesn't want to change the Constitution. She's not sure about that birthright citizenship. Because what we need is a citizenship test for newborns. Now, how would you accomplish that? Because beyond simple expressions of pain or need, newborns aren't known for their communicative skills. I mean, you can't even ask a newborn who's buried in Grant's tomb. Or what color was George Washington's white horse? I mean, you can't look at a newborn and say, if D-U-L-Y's Dooley and M-U-L-Y's Muley, what does J-U-L-Y spell? You can't do that with a newborn. Hey, I got it. Maybe we could have a newborn citizenship test based on skin color. White ones are citizens and everybody else ain't. That's easy. Ooh, somebody tell the Donald.
It's definitely one of those things that it is definitely a slippery slope, Carol. Absolutely.
A lot of people would agree with you. So, Rick Wilson... you have worked on behalf of very conservative Republican candidates, Dick Cheney among them. So what do you think about Donald Trump's plan?
He's talking about tripling the ICE budget, but you're going to talk about deporting 20 million people. I mean, whether it's a great idea or not, if it's let's just say all 20 million were illegal criminals, horrible people. Trying to deport that many people is an enormous logistical question that we have never grappled with something at that scope and scale. And
some people have, though. Well, not quite on that scope and scale. Last time 20 million people got off, it took some disease. It took a church that was willing to burn people at the stake. It took some rather rapacious conquest. But it can be done. It can, I promise. Hey, somebody ask the Texas Agriculture Commissioner. Maybe he'll have an idea.
Is an expansion of government power that, just like I think the TSA and Obamacare and the Department of Homeland Security, it will grow and metastasize and become something that people do not like at the end of the day.
Tara, what do you think about what
Rick just said? It's not an excuse for illegals.
Well,
and see, that's the thing. We already don't like the illegals, the illegal people, people who are being illegally people. I mean, they could be people and be legal people if they'd go and be people where we're happy with them being people, which is not here. I mean, maybe they could go back and be people where they used to be people before we started passing all these godforsaken trade agreements that destroyed their local economies and sent them flooding doctors and lawyers and physicists and scientists and what have you flooding across the border trying to get a job swabbing toilets for minimum wage or less. Yeah, they could be people.
I'd like to get Tara's thoughts on what you just said, Rick.
I really do.
I'd like to get Tara's thoughts because, see, we haven't pumped enough stupid into the airwaves, and maybe this will be the one that the aliens finally see 100,000 years from now and start heading for us for the toot sweet to come and laser beam us right out of the solar system. It's so damn dumb.
I agree wholeheartedly with Rick. I think a huge amount of infrastructure is going to have to be put in place to make something of this. I mean, it's huge. It's a huge plan.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. It's huge. See, she used the patented T-Rump word. It's huge. Absolutely. And there's going to be a lot of infrastructure. You know what another word for infrastructure is? Camps. Camps. And you know what some of the other infrastructure that goes with camps are? Guard towers. And you know what some of the infrastructure you put in the guard towers are? Machine guns. And you know what some of the infrastructure is you put around the camps? Razor wire. Yeah. We're still not at the hockey ball. Does that tell you anything?
So how do we make that happen? I think his heart, I think his mind is in the right place. I think a lot of people, my question is, how does this affect our economy? Yes, a lot of illegal immigrants are in this country. They are making money from America. They send it back, but they also do spend a lot of their money here in the United States. So economically, how will it affect the United States of America? And I really do. I love the plan. I love the idea that, hey, let's get some of these illegal immigrants out of the country. Let's get them out of here. So maybe more whites who have not been able to acquire jobs, maybe they can get into jobs.
More whites who haven't been able to get jobs. Is this woman related to the Miss South Carolina from several years ago, Iraq, the Iraq and such as? Is she? Because she sure seems like it. Darlene pointed that out a minute ago. She sounds exactly like the beauty contestant that gave that really screwed up response. Can't recall what the question was, but you roll the tape every once in a while. No, and I'm not gonna. They've made a commercial out of that now, and I don't know if that's the real former Miss South Carolina sitting there in the cab of the crane or whatever it is, who and such as. But yeah, she does sound like that. So we're gonna get rid of some of these illegals and let whites who've never been able to get jobs get jobs doing the jobs the illegals are doing, you know, the human beings, because there's so many whites out there clamoring for jobs and, you know, hanging out at the Home Depot, willing to go and work for substandard wages so they can live 22 to a house and send the money back home to Mexico, because she seems very concerned about that. But we got to do something to help the whites.
How will it affect the United States of America? And I really do. I love the plan. I love the idea that, hey, let's get some of these illegal immigrants out of the country. Let's get them out of here. So maybe more whites who have not been able to acquire jobs, maybe they can get into jobs. Some of the blacks.
See, she's not a racist. More whites and some of the blacks. Some of the blacks. There's your hockey puck. Oh, gracious. I think Tara Compton Grant just ran to the head of the More and Monday parade. Don't you? But see, it's only some of the blacks that'll get those jobs that we're going to take away from the illegals when we send them back to where they could be legal. Because most of the blacks don't want the jobs. They just want to collect the welfares. Some of the blacks. And you know, T-Rump has just got to be sitting there watching on his 110 bajillion inch big screen going, "She's huge!" Luda with a note, "Bob, we've been saying that to Trump's ancestors for a long time, but each time we made the effort, his family gave us free blankets. Then we'd forget for some reason." Some reason. Ron and Raleigh, "Dear Lord," hey, I didn't get a Bob for this one. Dear Lord, who in the name of all that's holy is this ignorant woman? Bio, please. Oh, there's not much of in the way of a bio. She is a supporter of T-Rump, and her name is Tara Compton Grant. And I guess she's who CNN talks to when they want someone to talk about T-Rump. Yeah, so some of the blacks, right? That's where we were. Some of the blacks.
Illegal immigrants out of the country. Let's get them out of here. So maybe more whites who have not been able to acquire jobs, maybe they can get into jobs. Some of the blacks.
Tara, just an added question for you. So...
Yes, of course.
I hear what you're saying, right? So why didn't Donald Trump come out and say, you know what, every company that hires an illegal alien, and that's a mm-hmm. terrible term, so an illegal immigrant, right, will be fine.
Carol, no. Undocumented immigrant, please. It's got to be on the AP tip sheet just about every damn day. Yeah, never mind.
We're going to come down hard on corporations who do that. Why didn't he say that?
Such as?
You know, that's a very good question. I mean, I even asked myself that. The only thing that I can think of is he's a businessman. He's a big thinker. He's a company guy. And so instead of coming down on big companies, let's...
Big think of the llama.
Come down on, hey, let's put a plan in place that we can wrangle them all up, send them back. And we do deport. This country has deported. I had a good friend of mine.
Wait a minute. Wait. We've got to have a place where we can wrangle them all up. Father, what would we call such a place where we could wrangle them all? Anybody got any naming ideas for a place where you could wrangle all of them, those people, the others, those who are ruining why we can't have anything nice here, where we could wrangle them all up? Anybody with a name? Naming rights, I mean, maybe you'd want them to do something while in between wranglings. Maybe you'd want them to... Maybe you'd want them to think deeply about something, even in their illegal alien language. Maybe you'd want them to focus on something. Maybe you'd want them to concentrate. And of course, I mean, it was a place this big. I mean, it's not like we're not going to turn over one of the Trump casino towers or whatever for all this wrangling. It's probably going to be kind of open air. It's going to be like nature and stuff. It's like camping. So while they're camping here, they can be thinking about things like how they're so illegal, and they're going to want to concentrate in this camp on, yes, a concentration camp. Yes, absolutely. Tara Compton Grant apparently wants a concentration camp for wrangling 20 million people. Okay, so New York City is what, 11, 12 million people? Yeah, right, yeah. And that's not even spread out. I mean, that we've got them stacked up 100 stories in the air in New York. So what do we need for one of these camps where they can concentrate on how illegal they are? Kansas? West Texas? Southern Arizona? Half? Jesus. I mean, we're not even a year away from the election yet, and the right wing is out there showing its true colors, talking about concentration camps. Yeah, I'm sure the less sensitive among us might refer to that something like that as a death camp, but I won't. Will you? I wonder if maybe Mike Huckabee can come out with a position statement saying that Donald Trump wants to march illegal aliens to the ovens. That's going to be a big damn oven. No easy bake there. And if Trump decides to build one, will only girls be allowed to run the Easy Bake illegal alien oven? That's a little, and you know what? They'll have Tara Compton Grant back on CNN. She didn't say, no, this is great for ratings. This is wonderful. And by the way, she did catch some heat on Twitter, and she said, CNN interview went great. For those of you calling me a racist, I have 3 biracial kids. Read the immigration policy. There's something about Tara Compton Grant's 3 biracial kids in the immigration policy? What? Note from Michael in Madison. U.S. Americans and such as. Corrigible people. So, if I got this straight, U.S. American citizenship should only be for U.S. Americans and such as, not for the Iraq or the Mexico, and it's a tough one with the babies born here, but if we just give them maps and such as with the Mexico and the Iraq and such as on those maps, the children will figure out how to get home? Michael says T. Rump would put a crown on her pretty little head. I, by Jove, I think he's got it. The rain. There ain't no rain. What's rain? Subject line, could this be? Ron and Raleigh says, hey, Bob, I say empty out Manhattan. This could be the sequel to Escape from New York. Snake Rodriguez. I thought you were dead. No. Snake Rodriguez coaches the University of Arizona. Oh! No, that's Plugs Rodriguez. My bad. Robert in Australia. Native American nations have just put forth a proposal that all persons who entered the country legally, illegally any time over the last 500 years, and all their descendants are to be deported back to their ancestors' country of origin.
Damn it! I'm so going to hate Scotland. I mean, I'd like to visit there, but, I mean, the business of having to wear a damn parka in July? Oh! No.
By the way, the NRA check must not have cleared at T-Rump headquarters yet, because there was no mention there of making sure that every white American baby such as be provided a gun such as. Jack in Treeport with an observation.
How's about just taking the money that would be sent back to the families out of the tax revenue, send it down there before they come here?
But wouldn't require dehumanizing them enough, I guess.
No. And dehumanize, that's not a flaw, that's a feature
when Republicans are talking about immigration. And I think Ron and Raleigh's right. He says, I hate to say this, but white men are going to be the death of us all. What I find ironic is that the only country that dropped a nuke in anger is on its high horse, telling a country that, to the best of my knowledge, doesn't want a nuke, that they can't have one. Yeah, no kidding. Moran Mondays can be a little tough sometimes. I mean, the stupid is breathtaking. By the way, I mentioned Mike Huckstermeyer a couple of minutes ago for a reason. But you knew that, didn't you? He's out there working the hustings. And there's apparently no end to the stupid. Sometime on Sunday, Chicken Noodle News found time to bring Pastor, brother, governor, reverend, presidential candidate, diabetes snake oil cure salesman Mike Huckstraby on the TV tube. Because, after all, Mike Huckstraby is upset. And, of course, you know what he's upset about. I ain't telling you. He's always upset about the little fetuses. How upset? This upset.
Governor, I want to bring it back home and to an issue that's really been percolating in the Republican race, the issue of abortion. Now, you oppose abortion even in cases of rape and incest. I want to ask about a story because it's really getting a lot of attention from our readers on CNN.com. A 10-year-old girl was raped by her stepfather in Paraguay, and the government wouldn't allow her to have an abortion because that's the policy there. The girl, who's now just 11, had the baby. If you're president and you have your brothers, that would be the policy here. Some of your Republican opponents say it's too extreme. What do you say?
I think what we have to do, Dana, is remember that creating one problem that is horrible. I mean, let nobody be misled. A 10-year-old girl.
Hold on there. The guy. No, Mike Huckstraby. Why, he just got catched by the goddess of irony. What did he say that problem was when he had that little Freudian slip showing, huh? What do you call it? Yeah. Let's go back.
Problem that is horrible.
Yeah, that problem is horrible. I didn't even know it was a word. But if you think about it, and him being who he is, and right-wing, and God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, upstanding, evangelical fundamentalist that he is. Hand me a snake! Glory! I'm sure horrible is a problem. And I'm sure horrible is a word. See, that little 10-year-old Paraguayan girl wouldn't have gotten raped if she hadn't been horrible. After all, did anybody... there's things we don't know about those uncivilized countries. Maybe the people down there, maybe the authorities, maybe the judges, maybe in the government, maybe they knew what that 10-year-old was wearing. Maybe by being horrible, she was asking for it. Oh, thank you. Thank you, goddess of irony, for, well, that little blessing. Yes, it was horrible.
What we have to do, Dana, is remember that creating one problem that is horrible. I mean, let nobody be misled.
After all, you can't spell horrible without whore.
A 10-year-old girl being raped is horrible. But does it solve a problem by taking the life of an innocent child? And that's really the issue. I know people. I worked for a man for several years, James Robison, who was the result of a rape.
By his uncle daddy? Was Mama 10? This is another case of a pasty-faced, doughy white man not really understanding the nature of human female physiology even a little bit. Yes, she had the baby. Yes, she did. Guess what? At 10 years old, she's not supposed to be having babies. At 10 years old, she hasn't grown enough to have a baby without having some sort of problem arise out of pregnancy. See, I thought he was going to start talking about duggery. And do you notice how when they talk about the life of an innocent child? Wait a minute. Let's back up here. I want to get this. I don't want to take him out of context. Oh, horrible! No.
One problem that is horrible. Horrible. I mean, let nobody be misled. A 10-year-old girl being raped is horrible. But does it solve a problem by taking the life of an innocent child? And that's really the issue.
You got that? raping a 10-year-old girl is a horrible problem. But you'll notice that he doesn't use the word innocent to describe the 10-year-old girl. Only the fetus in an abortion case, an incest-based abortion case, only the fetus is innocent. You know, because Eve had that conversation with that gossipy Gabon viper. That little girl was born in sin. She was born with the miasmic filth of sin upon her, and that is why Almighty God gave her a vagina. Because, you know, we'd all be so much happier if it was all just boys here. Because Eve passed her sin on to Adam, and he was blameless until then. Yeah, sometimes people act as though they don't understand why I despise Christianity. Or particularly the evangelical fundamentalist version of it. And frankly, find me a Christian sect that does not say that original sin exists in the world and that's why Jesus had to die on the cross. Find me one! It doesn't. All Christianity has that baked in. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Born in it, baby. Born in it. Born in sin and conceived in iniquity, and from the stench of the grave to the stink of the deity to the stench of the grave, there is always something. So, Reverend Pastor, Brother, Governor, Presidential Candidate, Diabetes, Snake Oil Cure Salesman, Mike Huckstaby, doesn't realize that he's just getting the floor mopped with himself by the goddess of irony. He doesn't realize he's doing it. He just does it. So that we can have little hints about the true evil nature of this man. Fetus is innocent. The 10-year-old. The 10-year-old little girl who was in no wise responsible for her own rape. She doesn't get described as innocent. The fetus does. And the fetus is innocent until it passes through the birth canal and becomes just another sin-filled human on the planet. What a disgusting wad of protoplasmic excrescence Mike Huckstaby is.
No, people, I worked for a man for several years, James Robison, who was the result of a rape. His mother went to three doctors in Houston, Texas in 1943, begged doctors to abort the baby. None of them would do it. They all refused.
And James Robison thinks so highly of himself that the planet could not have gotten by without him. Imagine that. Because, see, James Robison, and I know who James Robison is, and if you don't, you're lucky. But if you do, you know that he's another one of those protoplasmic wads of human excrescence. James Robison uses that as part of his testimony about how his mama tried to kill him in the womb and how three doctors in Houston in 1943 wouldn't do it. Because it would be 30 more years before a woman's right to control the workings of her own body was acknowledged by the Supreme Court of the United States. But oh, blessed be those doctors, for so many souls have been saved by James Robison, and so many Social Security checks have been ingathered to the greater glory of the Lord by James Robison. This man wants the brutality of a church-controlled government in Paraguay brought to the shores of the United States. Beth in Dallas says, in regard to Huckabee and 10-year-olds, Huckabee said, but does it solve a problem by taking the life of an innocent child, and that's really the issue. Beth says, somehow I doubt that Huckabee's ever looked into the eyes of a raped and pregnant 10-year-old child, because I have, twice, several years apart, and it's not a picture he would ever want to use in his campaign ads. Once they understood what was happening inside their bodies, they each said the exact same words, "Get it out." Those little girls were not insentient embryos or fetuses. They were the innocent children. And that's really the issue. The vileness of Huckabee and those like him is beyond what language can describe. And I agree, Beth. I mean, misanthrope, monster, none of it works, does it? He ain't but half done.
The day his organization feeds, cares for, living capacity for water to hundreds of thousands of people across the world, that would never have happened, Dana. So when I think about one
hubris.
Horror, I also
oh
think
my
about
God, we need a hubris siren. That's what we need. Hubris, hubris, warning, Will Robinson. Hubris, warning, James Robinson. Hubris ahead. Yeah, no. Nobody else would have fed those people. Nobody else would have provided them a drink of water. Only James Robison could do that through the power of Christ Jesus. The only problem with hubris is that it doesn't seem to get the traffic from the ethereal realm that it once did. I mean, Oedipus gouged out his own eyes with his wife's brooch. That had to hurt. And then wandered blind and despised for the rest of his days in penance for something that he hadn't even had a, didn't have, not, he didn't know he was doing what he was doing. He was just, I mean, you know, you kill the king, you get the queen. It's a package deal. Mama. Hey, pretty mama. You the queen? Because I'm the king. Oh. Hubris, apparently, it doesn't get paid off the way it should. Anyway, back to Huckabee.
Possibilities that exist, and I just don't want to think that somehow we discount a human life.
And that's understandable, but, you know, the flip side is...
Well, daggum, when you're saying 10-year-olds have to have Uncle Daddy's baby, you're kind of already discounting a human life, aren't you? You're discounting a real human life. Not a fetus. Carol tells me, remember, when you combine religion with sanctimony, you get pure evil. And that's pretty much what you got here.
Looking in the eyes of a 10-year-old girl, saying, you know, you had this horrible thing happen to you and you're going to have to carry it out for the next 9 months. I mean,
9 months, my ass, Dana Bash! How about the rest of your life? Now, I don't know what the life expectancy of a female child is in Paraguay. I suspect it's probably higher than that of a female in, say, Mingo County, West Virginia. But still. It ain't just 9 months, Dana. You got kids, Dana?
That's also not easy.
Oh, it's not easy. Well, thanks for standing up for the nine-year-old, Dana.
No, it isn't easy. And I wouldn't even pretend that it's anything other than a terrible tragedy.
It's horrible.
But let's not compound the tragedy by taking yet another life. And I always think we sometimes miss the fact that when an abortion happens, there are two victims. One is the child. The other is that birth mother, who often will go through extraordinary guilt years later when she begins to think through what happened.
You know, I don't think nine-year-olds whose daddies raped them go through a hell of a lot of guilt after an abortion, either the day after or 50 years after. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think on the day after the abortion, it's, whew, or as Beth put it, get it out. Oh, they got it out. Good. I can be a little girl again. Of course, in a culture like that, no, she's probably going to, you are a filthy daughter of Eve. Get thee to a brothel. Day after, whew, 50 years later, because after all, she's a woman in Paraguay, and 50 years later, she's probably going to have 17 children. In which she was allowed to participate in a decision about whether to have that child not even once in 17 times. Yeah, it's horrible, but you know what? It wouldn't happen if God had not wanted it to happen. That's why he made women to be raped. Because he loves them. God does.
With the baby, with her. And again, there are no easy answers here. And I realize there are some people that will be very different in their view of this than me.
There are no easy answers here. Except he just gave an easy answer. Because that answer is so easy, it is not in any wise tainted or polluted by one iota of human compassion or even a mega microvolt of electricity forming a thought that resembles compassion.
And I respect that. I don't want to get into a shouting match with people who think I'm wrong. I respect that. But I just come down on the side that life is precious. Every life has worth and value. I don't think we discount the intrinsic worth of any human being, and I don't know where else to go with it but just to be consistent and say if life matters, and that's a person, then every life matters.
Except the Iranian lives that might, you know, the little 10-year-old Iranian girls who might need to be, you know, bombed by the Israelis or bombed by the United States, Tomahawk cruise missiled, that kind of thing. Those lives, yeah, well, they're not so precious now, are they? Because Mike Huckabee would happily send your children off to fight Iran for his weird religious hang-ups. Following up, Michael and Madison says, horrible, horrible. Is Reverend Governor Huckster Beelzebub having a Freudian moment calling the 10-year-old rape victim a whore as opposed to an innocent child? Yeah, that's the whole thing. He was thinking about a whore when he was thinking about a 10-year-old little girl being raped by her papa. Michael says, remember, his buddy and occasional bandmate is an open pedophile by way of both interview and popular song lyric. Duggery. This kind of thinking would explain Huckster's friendship with both Nuge and Duggar, as if there was any doubt. Monsters. All of them. So we'll take a little break and then come back to your calls. Both lines are open. 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. Oh, and by the way, we still have halfway to go on Gary's challenge for the evening. There's a $100 matching challenge for have a half a show on me, as it were, and a $100 challenge to knock out a little bit more of the equipment fund. And we're $50 of the way there, halfway there on both challenges. And we've got 47 minutes or so. That'd be nice to finish it off in the program itself. But, you know, maybe through 6 p.m. tomorrow. But, no, it'd be nice to knock it out during the program. Let's take a break, and let's see if anybody has any opinions on the topic, or any of the topics. Or maybe another Moran to nominate. You pick. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Duke.
Girl that I see in my mind.
Another long-distance dedication, this one going out to Pastor Governor Brother Mike Huxterby. 38 Special, and we know you love the name of that band, Mike, and Fantasy Girl. Sinful, dirty, dirty fantasy. Just for you. By the way, I've mentioned, you may have heard, if you listen to Dr. Bill, you may have heard him talk about his good friend Bob Bliss, who is the former dean of the Scholars College at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm fortunate in that I get his musings, his observations, musings, and history every morning. And I think, they're good every day. Some days are better than others. And they start in one place and finish up entirely in another. I've shared a couple with you in the past. I wanted to share this one with you real quick before going back to the phones. The subject line is a quote from Lottie Fortin Grimke. I wonder that every colored person is not a misanthrope. Surely we have everything to make us hate mankind. Wow. Anyone doubting, Bob Bliss writes, anyone doubting that slave owners had sexual partners amongst their slaves might check out the genetic entanglements of the Jefferson and Hemingway clans, or Hemings clans. Or the Fortins will do just fine. Charlotte Lottie Fortin, born on August 17, 1837, into the free black community of Philadelphia, was the granddaughter of North Carolina slave owner James Johnston and the great-granddaughter of a North Carolina governor, Samuel Johnston. She may, on her father's side, also have been a descendant of yet another planter, Captain James Wood. The mind boggles. Anyway, as free persons of color, her parents fetched up in Philadelphia, where they were welcomed into Richard Allen's mother, African Methodist Episcopal Church. As if to complete the sexual circle amongst slave owners and slaves, although assuredly for different motives, Lottie would later, 1878, marry the Reverend Francis James Grimke, yet another product of a master-slave liaison and a nephew to the famous Grimke sisters, Sarah and Angelina, who, though fully white, had also jumped the slavery ship to become important leaders of Northern abolitionism. So we should not be surprised that young Lottie became deeply involved in anti-slavery. Educated in New England in 1862, Lottie joined up with the Union Army to work in the Port Royal experiment in occupied territory in the Sea Islands, became friends with Colonel Robert Gould Shaw of the 54th Massachusetts, and nursed the survivors of the regiment's bloody assault on Fort Wagner. After the war, Lottie, a Treasury official, continued to agitate for equality, a life's purpose that could hardly cease with her marriage to a half-white Grimke, the very Reverend Francis James. There's probably a master's degree worth or so worth of history in that. But as it makes abundantly clear, this nation is neither white nor black nor brown nor yellow. We are intermixed. And we are, the only difference being, we are much less open about it than countries to our south and even to our north. Because we like to hang on to that whole whiteness notion. Makes us feel good about ourselves. Or some of us. About some of ourselves. And just a quick follow-up from Michael in Madison. U.S. Americans and such as. To be fair, I sent that before we got to the wrangling part. Holy shit. I guess, like, what we could do is, like, we'll send lots of maps and such as the illegal campgrounds so they can, like, learn where their countries are, such as the Mexico and the Iraq and such as, so that, like, when we let the kids out of the camp, after they concentrate on the maps and such as, they can know how to get home, such as. Exactly. Exactly. Goodness gracious sakes alive. Could it be? I hope it is. I think it is. The marvelously coherent Diane from Kansas, Stan. Hey, Diane.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Oh, I'm about half out of my mind, such as.
Oh, who could forget that that young girl who stood on the pageant stage and tried to talk about I don't know what she was trying to talk about with such as and the South and South Africa such as and maps and
we call that cerebral vapor lock.
That was a hoot. Well, I've been in and out listening because I've been elsewhere, but it's what you just reported on. I didn't hear the whole thing, but I'll catch it on the podcast because it sounded very interesting. Something came through about courage in what you were just talking about. So I'll catch that on the podcast. If I may, I have contributions tomorrow and Monday.
Oh, do please.
Yeah. And it's kind of twofold. First, it's on the state level. And then I'll move to the actual individual Moran person. But have you heard that the debit card limit of $25 in Kansas is not going through? It's done.
No.
It's axed. Well, the federal, it's been a while since I read the article, but first of all, Brownback's own director of social services or some title to that effect had said publicly this limitation, this new rule is not going to work. So of course, you know how the legislators are these days? They just move on, you know, damn the torpedoes. They just move on and do what they're going to do, and then if there's a challenge, then they'll deal with it later. What a way to govern, right?
Well, I mean, that's the Scarlett O'Hara school of governance. I'll worry about it tomorrow, right?
Yeah, while Atlanta burns, so while Kansas burns. So anyway, what happened is it ran afoul of a rule the federal government has for welfare, and I'm not able to remember the, you know, the ins and outs of that, but that's what happened. The federal government, there was a certain amount of money at stake. Like, if you want this, the $10 million we give you, Kansas, for whatever, and I can't remember what it is. I'm sorry, it's been a while since I've read the article, but it's like you won't get that if you put this rule into place. Something like that. If someone's really interested in it, they should go and, you know, it's been reported on and they can find it. But basically, the bottom line is it's not going to happen. The federal government said, for reasons I'm not entirely clear on, but money was involved, this ain't going to happen. And so it's not going to happen. And there were people in the House who had real questions about it anyway, and you've already reviewed those, so I won't go into it. It was so stupid from so many different angles, including that it really amounted to $20 because what cash machine gives $5 bills and et cetera. So that's not going to happen. Oh, there is one other thing I want to mention, because, you know, of the budget fiasco here where Kansas went into extra sessions to pass a budget.
Right.
And by the way, that extra session, I've looked it up several times, and it was something like $550,000 that it cost us in Kansas. So, you know, it's always so wise what these people are doing. But the reason I want to touch on that just briefly is I read several news accounts, and it's not like the Kansas City Star is so fond of Brownback. I mean, I don't think anyone's really fond of Brownback. But the reports in the papers were like, well, so-and-so, Representative Republican so-and-so from Salina was crying on the floor, sobbing, saying he really had to vote for a sales tax increase, but he didn't come to Topeka to vote on the tax increase. So, crying. More than one. You just got this sense from reading the news reports that the Republican Party was in such disarray about this that grown men were crying, at least this one. So it's the part, you know, that circus isn't over yet, but it's Brownback really put his constituents in a box. Because they did raise sales tax, and they openly say we're moving from a tax on production to consumption. So all is well, Bob. all is well.
Oh, it's a workers' paradise in Kansas.
We're regressive, and ain't it nice? So it's, there is that. Now, here's why I called in, because this gets to the moron part, and it has to do, angry Indian is a little part of this story. Believe it or not, I think there's 2 degrees of separation between angry and me, because I was friends with a reporter for the Topeka Capital Journal who would get to go in and see Leonard Peltier and report on him. And there was one other person involved that I've heard angry mention in his program. So it's interesting. There's maybe 2 degrees of separation between angry and me. But I found out about Radio Free Kansas by going to Angry's, fourth world feed.
Right.
Do you know about Radio Free Kansas?
Oh, yeah. We had a conversation one night.
Mike Cadell over there at Radio Free.
Yeah. He does a great job.
Pardon?
He does a great job.
Well, I've discovered it. And so it's very interesting because I'm looking actually at the website right now of Radio Free Kansas. And so you might remember there's a kind of schedule of upcoming broadcasting. You scroll down the page and you see it's very Kansan. You see Thursday Law and Disorder. Okay, that's one program. And then there's an ad for 4th of July casserole. I mean, this is very Kansan. Wednesday with Wits. I'm setting you up for something, Bob. So there's Wednesday with Wits, some Kansan. Actually representing the LGBT community. So, I mean, this is progressive internet radio. And then you scroll down and there's another program called Otto's Kansas Coffee Bar. And it's co-hosted with a former representative. And it says in print that at the cafe, the Lineball sisters will be talking with former Representative Bill Otto. So, it's just, talking about small town Kansas life with the Lineball sisters. And I've listened, and first they talk about the gladiolas coming up, and then there's something about, well, what's so-and-so in Parkville doing? And then they meander over into something about Brownback. It's cute. Okay, and you scroll down, and all of a sudden, you really get to feel that this is Kansas, and all of a sudden then you see on the schedule Fourth World Radio. And then in big cats it just leaps off the page, because you've just been meandering around a schedule that's very Kansas like it leaps up off the page. Cats, graphic language warning, listener discretion is advised.
NFSW, damn it.
Well, it's Angry's program. And so it's just like all of a sudden in Captain, you get the small Kansan feel, you've got the Lineball sisters at a cafe just talking, and I've listened, it's just very small town, and it's great because there's gems of all sorts of wisdom in there, and they're talking to a former representative, so you're talking with someone who can shed light on some things in the legislative bodies. All of a sudden there's Fourth World Radio, RADYO. And just in caps, profanity alert.
Well, it's only fair, Diane. I mean,
I think it's funny. I mean, doesn't that strike you as funny? And then you scroll on down, and then it goes back Saturday, high noon. You think you're at the OK Corral or something, but Angry's in there, like, in that way.
Warning.
Profanity alert. Listener discretion is advised.
Carpet.
All in caps. I just got the biggest kick
carpet,
out of that.
Yeah. Carpet F-bombing.
So, Angry has a presence in Kansas in that way. And because he had Radio Free Kansas on his feed at the bottom, and along with the horn, the head on radio station network, I listened to some of the Lineball sisters at the Otto's Kansas Cafe with Representative Bill Otto and Mike Cadell, and the conversation meandered around, here's the more on Monday part I want to propose. They meandered into talking about the news about Sam Brownback's brother as reported in...
What a thug!
Do you know about this?
Oh,
have
my...
you heard?
Yeah.
Have you heard about Sam Brownback's brother?
Yeah, it's...
Have you heard the news? I mean, I heard it from the Lime Ball sisters at the Otto's Kansas Cafe, but perhaps you already heard.
Oh, yeah, he's a thug. Jim Brownback.
Oh, God.
He's a one man Clanton gang before the shootout at the OK Corral.
Yes. When did you hear this, Bob? I must have missed it in the news.
I picked it up off my book page. I forget. Maybe
Carol. Yeah.
Yeah. Farmer Jim Brownback. Farmer Jim. That just sounds friendly, doesn't it? Has a long history of bullying and terrorizing his neighbors in the small town of Parker, Kansas.
Exactly. Did it go into detail? Because the Lime Ball sisters and Rep. Bill Otto at this, you know, Kansas Cafe, they went into some detail on what, because they...
Well, it was all laid out in a rather huge article. And see, we have to use the T rump word. Huge.
Oh God. Uh-huh.
Article in the Topeka Capital Journal.
Yes.
He is referred to as perpetrating. Neighborhood terrorism.
Yes, and that's no exaggeration from what the Lime Ball sisters say. I mean, I'm going to take them at their word. The representative Bill was in on it, and Mike Cadell. Here's one thing. He's setting off explosives on the farm. Another thing is he's shooting over the heads of his neighbors. And he's gone into bars and pointed a gun at someone. And it's at the point, according to the Lime Ball sisters, and apparently the Topeka Capital Journal, the paper of record here, the neighbors are keeping journals of his activities. Here's a nice image for you, Bob. He's apparently mean to his cows, and I don't think that goes over real well with true ranchers. And you know, he's mean to them. He lets them starve, reportedly, and then he'll just bury them. He'll bury them near the property line. I don't know if that's a big deal in the story, but it could be if you're his neighbor. And his cows will go graze near the area, and there'll be dead cow legs sticking up through the earth.
Oh, he left it.
He
killed a fawn, you know, baby deer, Bambi,
yeah,
out of season, and gutted it and left the parts laying in his neighbor's driveway.
Yeah.
Is this the Kansas version of the horse's head in the bed? You know that.
Oh God, I don't know. Oh, that was a horrible thing. That Godfather scene. Oh, I'll never forget. I couldn't take it.
All of this was awful enough that it gets picked up by Barbara Shelley writing in the op-ed page of the Kansas City Star.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Locals aware of the dynamics shake their head in dismay. In a place where people honor the Second Amendment and revere the self-defense castle doctrine, there is astonishment no one has been gunned down.
Yeah, it's a matter. Well, Mike Cadell's point, and he's the host of Radio Free Kansas, and as you might know, he's a former editor, newspaper editor, and private investigator. And he carried a gun around, and I listened to this podcast. I was just amazed at some of the history I was hearing. I listened to the one where Angry interviewed Mike Cadell. And Mike was like, well, the abortion providers in Kansas many years back came to me and asked me to help provide security for them. So he started to do that and carried a gun and all that, and he had a kind of interesting story, disheartening story to tell about that thing. But his point about Brownback's brother, Mike Cadell, was saying, my God, someone's got to step in. You, when that kind of thing's happening in your family, you got to step in and do something about it. You can't just let that go, especially being governor. And so that was Mike Cadell's take on it. From, he said he actually had to step into his, you know, family dynamics and his, the dynamics in his family wanted to stop some real nonsense. And I hadn't really thought of it from that angle, but I don't know, it doesn't look too good for Sam, you know. It doesn't look too good.
But when people have asked him about it, and by people I mean local journalists, I'm going to decline the opportunity to address that issue.
Oh, what kind of...
Because part and parcel of all of this is that his neighbors, say Jim Brownback, has frequently boasted, nobody can touch me. I'm the governor's brother.
Well, what kind of sentence is that? I'm going to decline the opportunity. I mean, I just can't deal with language use that way. I mean, I'm going to decline the opportunity to discuss that. Opportunity. No, I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks that this is coming out because no one likes Brownback enough to withhold the story, but that's just a guess. I don't know if that's true. If he were a beloved governor, you'd think someone might, you know, squash the story or temper it or something, but this doesn't look good for him. And it looks like his family is...
But Diane, nothing has looked good for Sam,
you know?
Brownback, okay? He doesn't care. He's among the elect. He is immune. He is above it all. He's...
Yep. Apparently.
Untouchable.
Yep. Apparently. But it's... I mean, doesn't... You read the story. I'm glad you read it, because I'm getting it from a... It sounded accurate, what I was getting on from the Otto's Kansas Cafe show. It sounded very accurate, given who was talking, you know, but I didn't read the article. So.
Well, I mean, consider this, and this is just part of what was repeated in the Kansas City Star op-ed. The report chronicles one especially disturbing instance in which local sheriff's deputies concluded that Jim Brownback should be arrested for criminal discharge of a firearm at an occupied dwelling. Now, here in West Virginia, Diane, we have a law against discharging a firearm within 500 feet of a dwelling, not necessarily at it. But I guess it's only illegal if you're shooting at the dwelling in Kansas.
I don't know.
Following a barrage of gunfire at the Penny's home from a truck in which a noticeably intoxicated Brownback was riding.
Oh.
So, just to get the picture, he goes out drunk riding, with his rifle gun, or maybe his pistol, and decides to shoot at his neighbor's house because he doesn't like his neighbors. These are the same people that he dropped the carcass of a dead fawn in their driveway.
Oh, yeah.
So he unloads a few rounds into their house.
Oh my God.
At their house. They call the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department, and the name of the family is P-E-I-N-E. I'm going to say that that's Payne. The sheriff's department told the Payne family that shotgun shells and other evidence would be sent to the Kansas Bureau of Investigation for testing, which might take 18 months.
Oh, my God.
So this writer says, the timeline seems odd, but after a year and a half passed, Joan Payne, said the sheriff's department told her the evidence was, and this is a quote, lost.
Oh, yeah, Mike Cadell reported on that. I heard that. That's right.
It apparently was never sent to the KBI, and the Linn County Sheriff and County Prosecutor basically blame each other for why that wasn't done.
Okay, so they're in on
it,
yeah.
So this is a guy who has become a terror in his community, and no one is willing to stop him.
And, you know, something comes to mind. Like, my sister lives out on the outskirts of Hayes, and she has some acreage. I don't know if it's 20 acres or something like that. And there was, her neighbor was arrested in Lawrence, Kansas. So, you know, that's about, I think that's about 3 hours away, actually. You know, so her neighbor was arrested in Lawrence, Kansas, for putting a pipe bomb under someone's car. Do you know, my sister was so glad about that arrest because she was a little afraid because he was setting off those kinds of bombs on his property, which was right next to hers, and they didn't get along. I mean, there was, they had some issue, like, you know, he didn't like her. She was alone, you know. I mean, I was like, oh my God, this is not good. And, you know, so what happens next thing, you know, he's arrested in Lawrence for putting a pipe bomb under someone's car. These things morph, don't they? I mean, they escalate. It's like, how many warnings can there be before someone's lying dead in the, you know, in the field?
And that's the next question, Diane. This is Kansas, not Manhattan, okay? The writer of the article is correct. I mean, this is your Second Amendment freedom protecting zone. How is this? Any other Kansan goes by taking pot shots at a house, somebody's going to get shot. Somebody's going to shoot back.
I live here. I mean, in the bubble we've discussed, I can't really say how crazy they are about guns out there. I can't really say because my sister lives out there, and I don't know. She's near Hayes. So that may be, have its own kind of bubble. I don't know if people are crazy. There's a concealed carry. It's allowed here. But I've never had the impression that these people are absolutely nuts about their guns. I could be wrong. You know, I think maybe deeper in West Kansas there might be something else going on. But I don't know. No one's fired back at him yet. Why do you think that is? Because you think he's right because he's got the name Brown back?
Well, probably because they would come and lynch.
They would be arrested.
Well, no, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. But no, they wouldn't bother with arresting or trial. They'd just get a rope.
No, Bob. I don't think so. No. I don't think so. I don't read these people out here like that. But like I said, I could be wrong because I don't live out there. But my sister does. And a rope? I don't think so. No, I think
I don't mean I don't mean specifically a rope, but I mean there'd just be a killing.
Well, no,
or people
I mean,
would have to leave town or leave the farm or whatever one leaves in Kansas.
Yeah, I can't really say. I think there's a logic to what you're saying. It's a state where guns are allowed, and he's shooting around. And doesn't it make sense that someone may shoot him back? It's the point. Shoot back at him. I don't really know. I don't understand the gun culture. And so you've read this. I know in Manhattan, Kansas, that something would happen. I mean, the police would be here. You know, wherever here is. I mean,
I'm not so sure if Farmer Jim Brownback decides to come to Manhattan and shoot the place up, he may get away with it there too.
Well, if it's him. You may be right, but I don't know. Otherwise, they respond if you just call about a disorderly house. The party's too loud. I mean, the police respond.
Well, that's
here.
because the people just being disorderly are just ordinary people. I mean, I got a story here out of Kentucky, along those very lines. WLEX in Kentucky reporting that. Two 8-year-olds in Whitley County, Kentucky, ran away from the house and ran to their neighbors in the middle of the night because their babysitter, a woman by the name of Lori Cornett, had just decided to start shooting at them.
Oh, dear God. Oh. Where's the location? What did you say with the location?
Whitley County, Kansas.
Yeah, I don't know where that is, quite frankly. So, yeah, wow.
Now, she's been arrested and booked. And they believed the children, the police did, because when they went to the residence, Lori Cornett was
Well, met him at the door with a cocked pistol in her hand.
Oh, good. Good. Oh, my. I don't mean good. I just mean my God.
And when they said, and when they said, and this is how they say it in place like Kentucky, what in the Sam hell do you think you're doing, woman? She said, well, I've been drinking and I'm on medication.
Oh, well, then everything's okay. And it's all explained and we understand.
And when the deputies took the firearm away, and I'm sure they were grieving when they did, because it's a terrible thing when a freedom protector is separated from a freedom protector, and the Second Amendment silently weeps, and God kills a kitten or something. The deputies took the gun, and it had two spent cartridges in it, and three empty cartridges were laying on the table inside.
God, those poor children. Can you imagine?
And she now says she has no memory of the children even being with her.
Well, you know, the last time I called a police dispatcher in this town about a disorderly party, I mean, they do ask, things like they want to know what they're walking into. There is that. Even if they think it's just a college party and stuff, they're now pausing and saying, can you tell us this? Can you tell us that? Because I want to know what I'm sending my people into, you know. So there's an awareness here. They're not trigger happy here. And by the way, the it's called the Black Student Union here. One response they had to Ferguson was to start calling meetings with the police here to make sure that the police here were appropriately sensitized to the issue. So, you know, which I think they are here. So far, so good. But I don't know. If you know, if I were a police person and I thought a lot of people out there in the country are armed, don't you think it changes their whole concept of their responsibilities to the community? I mean, I'm not excusing them at all, but I mean, we've just created kind of a mess, don't you think? That everyone is so armed up.
Well, and bear in mind, Whitley County, Kentucky, is in the southeastern corner of the state.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what does
that mean? It's home to the College of the Cumberlands. Okay, mm-hmm. So you're down there in it's sort of Daniel Booney country.
So
everybody's got a gun. People have six or seven.
Yeah.
Because you never know. You want one in each hand. And then you want one slung over your back, and it's all Rooster Cogburn, and fill your hands, you son of a bitch. You know, all of that. It just is.
Well, you know, that reminds me, just tangentially, that before we had to put my father in a nursing home so he could, his Alzheimer's got so bad. And, you know, we were at that nursing home all the time. We were very involved with his last days, but he just couldn't stay at home. But we watched Alzheimer's as kind of it can be kind of a long goodbye, but so my parents were, you know, lived in a very nice part of town. I grew up in a very nice suburb of Kansas City, and yet my father, I can't help it. He was just like this. It didn't seem to rub off on any of us, but he was afraid of the blacks coming into the white rich suburbs, you know, and I was just like, and it was also, then it was the Mexicans, and, you know, it's like the rest of us were just like, oh, you know, we just can't do anything about this with our father. It's just the way, you know, he can't be talked out of this. So we ignored it, but he had his rifle in the bedroom all the time so he could protect the place from the blacks.
The blacks.
Yes. I mean, I'm like, Dad, where are these people you're talking about?
Everywhere.
You know?
Everywhere.
Well, there was some bowling alley maybe across the Missouri line. I just don't know. He never got over fighting the Japanese either in World War II. There was quite a racial...
My dad didn't either. And
yeah, I mean, there's just so much you can say, and it didn't rub off on us.
As comparing the Germans and the Japanese, The United States government did a much better job of racistly engendering just deep and abiding hatred for the Japanese than they ever did with the Germans.
Yeah, isn't that something? But it's inexplicable, really. But the rest of the story is, so he's declining into Alzheimer's, but there's this gun in their bedroom. You see what I mean? He's into Alzheimer's, and there's that gun in the bedroom. Every time I visited, there was this gun lying out on the bed in the bedroom because of the blast. Oh, you know, just kind of like, and he's descending into Alzheimer's. So, and there was a case when my niece came in late into their house. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, I called my mom. I said, Mom, you know, I'm 2 hours away in Manhattan. No one in the family's handling this. So today I'm driving in. I'm walking. I've got your security codes. You know, they're all securityed up. So, but they have to have a gun on the bed. I've got your security codes. I have a key. I'm coming in. I'm walking up the stairs to where this gun is. I know nothing about guns. This isn't the safest thing I'll ever do. I'm going to take it by its little nape of gunness and walk out and put it in the, you know, trunk of my car and drive it back to Manhattan. And I'll have to then ask someone who knows about guns to get involved because I just don't want to handle it. But that's what I'm doing because Dad has Alzheimer's and you've got a loaded gun on your back.
Yeah, just...
because he's afraid of the blacks. Yeah. And I'm like, so I'm starting to drive in now, and there's nothing you can do to stop me because you're at your... My mom owned 3 Montessori schools in Kansas City before she retired. I said, because you're downtown on the plaza in your school, and I know you won't leave until all the kids are gone, and so this will be done by the time you get home. And she said, I'll call your brother. He'll handle it. I said, either he will or what I just said is going to happen. So that's how we got the gun out of my parents' house. I mean,
and a rifle. And an old man did, I mean, and I know you know nothing. I mean, I assume this is like a .30-06 or something.
I have no idea what it was.
I mean, do you realize what attempting to fire a rifle like that by an elderly man with Alzheimer's disease would do? He'd get knocked over and break a hip.
Well, you know, it just wasn't going to end well. You know,
And statistically, you're absolutely correct. Let's make certain of that, of making this clear. People who have firearms in their house are more likely to be killed or injured by those firearms.
Yes, and my niece was coming in late at night, and how would he know in an Alzheimer's fog? You know what I'm saying, Bob? I don't even need to, you know, go into that any further. And so, you know how in families there can be denial, and it's hard to take stuff away. We took the car keys away from my dad, and I mean, and my mom is like, "Oh, this is really difficult." I'm like, "Well, it's a loaded gun, and he has Alzheimer's, so I really can't get drawn into any story here, any denial, any poor thing here. I love my father. I'm coming to get the gun, and it'll be gone when you get home, you know, because she's just too close to the issue. She could have been the one dead too."
The odds are manifestly in favor of the fact that the person nearest the person with the gun is most likely
But anyway,
I'm sure the NRA, Diane, would say that you had brutally and callously taken your father's freedom away, but
and picture Ronald Reagan in his study and all. I mean,
right,
to his dying day, my father was like, "Diane, would you just please listen to Rush Limbaugh one time?" And I'm like, I know you're at the end of your life, Dad, but I'm not doing it. You know, I'm like, you could beg me. And he would kind of laugh because, you know,
it's not like you didn't know what Rush does. You're familiar with the shtick.
He had one progressive daughter, and I was the apple of his eye to the day he died, so there was just, nothing was really wrong, but he just didn't know how I couldn't be the same, and it's neither here nor there because he accepted it and there's no drama involved. It's just that, you know, to the day he died, he thought maybe I could get drawn into listening to Rush. And it's just like, what a conversation to have. And I just, you know, whatever. But the gun thing, no, I wasn't going to, you know, just let.
No, you can't.
No.
By the way,
no.
I have a note from Carol saying, you may not stay away so long next time.
Oh, Carol is so nice. I always enjoy when Carol calls in, and she knows what's going on in this part of the world. But actually, Bob, you know more about the Brownback story than I do in many ways. So probably Carol sent it to you, but it probably
no,
went
she
national.
Said it wasn't her. It wasn't her.
Well, it probably went national, probably. I should let you go because I know you need time for your goodbyes, and I'll school is starting up, so I do tend to get kind of busy, but I'll call in soon.
Oh, I hope you will, and I hope you have a wonderful beginning of the academic year.
Oh, I think it'll
all
be fine.
All those fresh young faces arriving on the campus.
From Western Kansas, a lot of them, bless their hearts. They don't seem crazy at all. They seem very nice, but...
Listen, that university may be their only hope.
We'll see what we can do. We'll do what we can with what we have.
All right.
To quote you.
You have a wonderful evening, and thank you
and
for the
you
conversation,
too, Bob.
Diane. All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Oh, there is nothing quite like a call from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas Stan. My goodness gracious. What a wonderful evening this turned out to be. Technical issues notwithstanding. Thank you for tolerating them ever so patiently. I'll try to get it fixed. I just got to figure out where to fix whatever it is that needs fixed. First of all, thank you to Gary Laborman for his challenge this evening. Thank you to Teresa for her help over the weekend. Thank you to Carol for getting the challenge started being met. And thank you as well to Keith. And thank you to Joan for finishing off one of the challenges. $50 remains on the other. And hopefully that'll be taken care of, you know, between now and the start of airtime tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, each and everyone, for spending time in conversation and in listening and participating in whatever way you do here. Thank you very much. The fact that you share your time with us is almost inexpressibly meaningful. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACAC.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.